Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life.
Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words. Wonderful words of life.
Chapter 6, the last part, first part of Romans chapter 7, verse 21 of chapter 6. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and being made servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead when we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law sin was dead, for I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Let's give thanks for these words and this new and living way. Out of the oldness of the letter, with the newness of the Spirit, we can give thanks for the letter, but we must have the Spirit to see it rightly. Let's pray. Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We give thanks in His name for every blessing given, for these great blessings spoken of here. What Thou didst say, Lord Jesus, earlier to Nicodemus, that Thou, Father, didst so love the world, that Thou didst give Thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And here we read that Thy gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us to see, Father, all that Thou art and all that He is, that we might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent, that we might know Thee especially in the face of Christ, as Thou dost reveal Thyself in Him and through Him. And we pray now through this one, of whom Thou, Lord Jesus, didst say, He is my witness, that we might hear Thy words through Him, and Thy word inspired by Thy Spirit, and we give thanks for it, a never-dying word. And as we sang, wonderful words of life, words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. And that is what Paul has been teaching us here, salvation by faith alone, and also our duty, in light of having that gift given to us to be used for Thy glory and for the good of our neighbor as well. And we pray that that might take place in the church today, that it will again become a salt and a light in our area, each one of us, in our country, in every country, that once again the church might be made a salt and a light, and not a salt that hath lost its savor, to be trodden underfoot, which is only then our own fault, and help us to see it. And if our country continues in our downward going, the wayward going, Father, help us to see the fault of the church first, that we are the ones that have been too silent, that we are the ones who have not heard and done Thy word as we should. And we pray that we might have a new beginning and revival. We pray also for the temporal blessings of those in sickness, hunger, homeless, war-torn lands, persecuted, the elderly, the sorrowing, the broken homes, the children in those homes. All these needs, Father, can be met through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we continue this word that Paul has given to the church at Rome, particularly for Jew and for Gentile there, but also to us. As the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And we have exactly the same word from Paul, from God, that they had, and we need it today, as well as they did. Maybe even more. We are probably not in the condition that the church at Rome was, of which it could be said in that first chapter, that their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. I do not know of a church today that has such a faith that we hear of it throughout the rest of the world. Certainly not ourselves. When we are in a city as we are here, and sometimes speak of the church we attend, well, where is that? They haven't heard of it. Even our own city, when we should be those spoken of as Paul was, turning the world upside down, That's what we need to be doing, to be accused of it in that way, not turning it upside down, but turning it right side up. And we are seeing it being turned the wrong way, in a terrible way today in our nation, and how we need to pray that God will both restrain it and the wickedness, but especially give the light of the gospel and the power of the gospel once again in our nation, in our homes. When I was young, I used to hear the statement, as goes the home, so goes the nation. Our homes have been breaking from good homes rapidly through the last 70 years, where now almost half the homes are broken. And sadly, in the church, as well as in the rest of the world, and the terribleness of the children in those homes, one of our sins amongst many others. We need to recognize all of them, going back to the beginning of the denial of God as Creator, long time ago. We should not forget it. We must make it known that God, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. It is in Him that we live and move and have our being, as Paul said to the Athenians, recorded in Acts chapter 17. That must be made known again. There are so many other sins that seem to crowd out the past ones, but we need to fight against all of them amongst ourselves and for the rest of the nation. The sin of abortion, the sin of immorality that leads to abortion, and all these different ways that we have grown into. Maybe I should say, died into. The broken homes, not only, but the wrong marriages of the homosexuals, lesbians, marrying one another in the same female or male races, instead of male and female marrying each other as God gave it, and then in that way to propagate the earth. We need to pray much more than we do. We need to be as the early apostles were, and the rest of them with them, in one accord in prayer and supplication, continuing in that. And we need to maybe even begin more than we do, and then continue. And also, as the Lord Jesus said, this kind cometh forth by prayer and fasting. Pray that we will come into a place, as Paul here describes it, as the first verse that we read, whereof you are now ashamed. Are we ashamed of our past? Are we ashamed of what we were before we experienced conversion? Even as Paul, not only ashamed of the past, but of the present. When he said, in the present time, some of the last verses of this seventh chapter, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He saw it in the present time. When he wrote to Timothy, he described himself as, I am the chief of sinners, of whom I am chief, when he spoke of the gospel of Christ. So Paul spoke in the seventh chapter of his past, in the earlier part of it, and then of his present time in the last part of the chapter, where we are reading now, the last part of chapter 6 and the first part of chapter 7. He is speaking more generally to all of us and of all of us, and again asking that question in verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Death. Eternal death. As the last verse of the chapter tells us, the wages of sin is death. Eternal death. When Christ gives that scripture to Nicodemus that I quoted from, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish. We are, naturally, by our own choice, perishing sinners. If left to ourselves, that remains our choice. Paul said in the third chapter of this letter, there is none that seeketh after God. There is none that understandeth. We are in that way. And none profitable, only when God begins. As he said to some of the churches, you who were dead hath he quickened. Christ said, when the Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. It's not only as we have here much emphasis on the law In the third chapter, we have some of it. The sixth chapter, quite a bit of it. And again, in the seventh chapter, how Paul was taught by it. But we must also realize, and I think I mentioned it last week, we are guilty in regard to the gospel. Some will say, yes, we broke the law, but we believe the gospel. Yes, we can come to believe the gospel. And again, those words of Christ, whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But as he also said, the Spirit has to reprove us of sin because we believe not on Christ. The Lord Jesus said when he was here on earth, you will not come to me that you might have life. Some want to call that free will, but it's a bound will. It's a will that he says, you will not come to me that you might have life. He said, if another come in his own name, him you will receive. And much of that is done within the church by confessions. Confessions that are more man's tradition than God's holy word. Especially this part of it that we read that Paul uses for an example. Verse 2 of the 7th chapter. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is loosed from that law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another. Is the church holding to that? As God gave it? As Christ gave it a number of times, recorded in the Gospels? Twice he said in Matthew that he that marrieth her that is divorced, or causes her to commit adultery. He said it by the pen of Matthew, recording Christ's words, also by Mark, chapter 10, by Luke, chapter 16, and here, and then again, he repeats that when he writes to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, is at liberty to be married to another to whom she will, only in the Lord. I read this morning of one that, again, sides with, sadly, part of the church, and says possibly Paul wasn't thinking of the fact that sexual immorality allows the divorce and remarriage. What a statement. Paul wasn't thinking. Is this only a word of Paul, or is it a word of the Holy God? By the Spirit, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, not private interpretation. This is not Paul's thought, and this is not something Paul forgot. That's what they have to do, make excuses. Yes, they are excuses, but they are not reasons. There's no reasoning against the Word of God, and if we do, it's part of sin, of which the wages are death. There are two sins, especially, one of not believing doctrine rightly, and the other one of not obeying God's word. One is in thought and one is in practice. We have guilt in both ways in regard to marriage. We are not a soul in the nation, and the nation is guilty as well. We have moved from stricter laws on divorce to our recent years. No fault, divorce. One can just get it, wanted it, not even given good reasons. No fault, they call it. And especially if only one wants it, the other doesn't. I have seen it myself in the court. Where a woman wanted a divorce, she was given time to speak. Those who spoke for her and the man sat there was not given any opportunity to speak against the divorce or a reason why it should not be. Not one word. All by her statements. Another one, much the same way. I wasn't there, but I heard about it. And the judge, after the woman said what she wanted to have, he said, I think your marriage is done. He gave it to her. But thankfully, that judge was wrong. Though he said, I think your marriage is done, they thankfully remarried sometime later. And that's what we need. Paul says to the Corinthians, that a woman is not to leave her husband, but if she leaves him, she must remain single or go back to her husband. That's God's word. And if we followed God's word, how many less divorces would there be? We say, well, you can't look at the practical side. Let's look at the other practical side. Because there are more divorces, and the church is in lightness and lies because of it, there will be a price to pay. God said to Ezekiel, if you don't warn the wicked, their blood is on your hand. What about all the children in the broken homes that have committed suicide? What about all the children in the broken homes today that they call mental illness? And they have to deal with it in the schools. They allot millions of dollars to deal with that. Yes, that's the practical side. And somebody is going to pay the wages of sin, which is death. And I said a little bit about last week, what a terrible thing it will be to stand on the judgment day. The church, the husband, the wife, the children, together to face a holy God and to face His Son, to whom all power has been given on heaven and earth. We have to begin now, today, to be ashamed, what Paul says, ashamed of those things of the past. We have to learn. What fruit had ye then, and the things whereof you are now ashamed, and the end of those things is death. We have an example of that in the church at Corinth. We don't read they were ashamed, but I think it's safe to say they were, because Paul speaks of their fervent mourning, their godly sorrow, a sorrow, a repentance unto salvation that need not to be repented of. And you can't help but believe that they then were ashamed of those things that Paul wrote to them about, where they were wrong. A number of things in that first epistle. In the second epistle, he describes what effect that letter had on them, and what effect this letter ought to have on us. The wages of sin is death. That's for you and I, every one of us, myself and you, and everyone in the world. Jew and Gentile, in the church and in the world, young and old, all together. And if we know rightly that the wages of sin is death, and I want to emphasize rightly, like going ahead to the sixth verse of the seventh chapter, but now we are delivered from the law, being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Last week I talked about having the gospel in the letter, in the form of godliness. There is much of that. Paul speaks about it, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And we can have it in a historical faith. Learn it all. Memorize it. There's preachers that have preached good sermons, but found out that they didn't really believe them. I remember reading of one, and he started to be troubled with part of this letter to the church at Rome. How that could really be true. And God used it in such a way that he was condemned by it. Much like we read in Galatians, shut up unto the faith which was afterward revealed, or shut up under the law. And that's all he saw, the law, those six chapters especially that we have been studying. And then God showed him the grace, showed him Christ was the end of the law for righteousness. The condemnation was gone. Just like Paul said, the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Then after faith has come, then we are no longer under that schoolmaster. And that's what Paul is talking about here, as well as he did to the Galatians in that third chapter. And especially in that third chapter where he speaks of the blessing of the gospel, that first of all he made known to Abraham. Paul, referring back to that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, to Abraham was the gospel preached, saying, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, or all the families of the earth be blessed. Here we have the gift of God as eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, saying the same thing in different words. Later in that third chapter of Galatians, Paul said, the law, which was 430 years after that time that God said that wonderful promise to Abraham, that law could not disannul that promise. The covenant of God in Christ, the law could not disannul, saying, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. if we know our guilt, and then we flee to Christ, come back to God in repentance, then the law can't touch us. Then the law is a new way. Then it is a way through Christ. The obedience to it begins. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, as we mentioned last week from Romans chapter 3. And that's what we have here too. Again, those words in the 6th verse, wherein we were held that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Sadly, in the oldness of the letter, we don't obey the law. None of us. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. None. But many people believe that they are justified by the law. I always loved God. I've heard it from people. The truth is, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. That means we don't love God. We haven't loved God. And if it is to be done, it is with all the heart, with all the mind, with all the strength, with all the soul, all the time, all that we have in us. He is to be loved. He is to be loved in nature, the wonderful things he gives us. Yes, also judgments to bring us back to himself. But the wonderful things, and then the greater things, as we read, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who shouldn't love him? As one song says, I love him because he first loved me. He tells us he not only gave us his son, but he gave us his word as it was sung. The second stanza, Christ, the blessed one, gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life, loving call, that's what it is. And yet, men hated it. Christ said, before I spoke to them, they had no sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin, and they hated me without a cause. Hate him whom God gives in his love? Terrible. Hate the God who gave him both? Only love from God to us. God so loved the world of sinners, all kinds of sinners, like you and I and all others together, and we're all the same, and we have to realize it. And if we do, then, like after a woman's husband died, so also we're dead then to the law. We're no longer held by it. We're free to marry Christ, free to be the bride of Christ, free in him. And as he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Oh, don't be like those that he spoke those words to in John chapter 8, and they said, we were not in bondage. We're not that kind of a sinner. They didn't know it. They were adding sin to sin. In the end, they took up stones to stone him, even though in the middle of the chapter, they were described as, when they heard these words, they believed on him. Believers in part, but did not continue in the whole word. And we need the whole word together. And if we had the whole word, each one of us, then we would be one in the truth. And the world would know through us that God sent Christ. That must take place. We need it. God needs it. The world needs it.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Pray.